You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The largest hīkoi protest to Waitangi grounds in modern history took place this Waitangi, with thousands gathering to voice their concerns about the new government's proposed policies, including a referendum on the principles of Te Tiriti, ending co-governance arrangements and removing Te Reo from the names of public service organisations. I spoke to Action Station Director Cassie Hartendorp, Ngāti Raukawa, about this significant show of solidarity and her reflections of the day. Can you tell me about what your impression was of this year's Waitangi commemorations?
My impression of this year's Waitangi commemorations were that Māori are very much alive and well and energised to be able to push our work forward and our tino rangatiratanga forward. And what I also observed was that our current government leaders are really not in a position to be able to lead us through our relationship around Te Tiriti or Waitangi. So what I noticed from the three of our leaders was that there was either an incompetence or an open disdain or actually using aspects of Māori culture and Māori concepts to be able to push a different ideological view. So watching the three different leaders speak, we've either got Winston Peters, who's outright abusing the people who are attending and saying that he's too busy to be there and is going to another huia straight afterwards. We've got Christopher Luxon, our Prime Minister, who is, even if he's attended some te reo classes, he's obviously incompetent. And when it comes to cultural literacy of how you might go about addressing a hui of Māori, the biggest hui of Māori in the country. And then you've got David Seymour, who is very deliberately trying to use concepts like tino rangatiratanga and so on to be able to push his own ideological agenda. And it's just a gross redefinition of our cultural concepts. And it's very pointed. It's very deliberate in order to be able to incite racism against honouring Te Tiriti o Waitangi.
And we saw thousands gather at Waitangi grounds to voice their concerns about the new government's new policies. And the largest hīkoi protest to Waitangi in modern history took place. What message do you think that this is sending to the government?
The message is being sent to honour our agreement that we put in place 184 years ago. It is to continue to honour what has already been done and go further and to stop the attacks on Māori and Te Tiriti that have been promised by this government. To me, it's very simple. What is happening is an attack, a deliberate attack on Māori, and that Māori aren't going to stand for it. We're the strongest that we've ever been. We have come back from the very brink of cultural extinction. We've come back from colonisation, and we're here to say we're not going anywhere. And in fact, we have a vision that we shared alongside you 184 years ago, and we want to implement that. We want to make it happen. I think that our iwi Māori have actually been incredibly generous time and time and time again. When the Crown treats our relationship as expendable, as unnecessary, as in the way of getting to the work that they want to get to, every single time the Crown has done things like this, Māori have been generous in the face of that. And once again, we are seeing how it's disrespected, but not just in piecemeal. This is actually a highly calculated agenda to be able to erode Māori rights in a way that is across the board. And so across the board, Ngā Iwi Māori are saying, no, this will not be happening, not on our watch.
And many have commented that this year's event felt different to past years. Why do you think this might be?
I think it is the arrogance and the brazenness of what this coalition government is setting out to do. So you've got a few different areas that are under attack, right? You've got the Māori Health Authority, which we already know was set up because our existing health system was not working to serve Māori, was set up to, in many ways, address the health inequities, including the fact that Māori die 7 years earlier than Pākehā. That has been disestablished against the evidence. We've got Māori wards being taken back to referendums, which we know is a way to be able to disestablish Māori decision-making in a local way. We've got fair pay agreements, which affect Māori. They affect low-paid workers. It flies in the face of best practice evidence. And so in this environment, we also see that te tiriti is the underlying constitutional basis of everything. So actually finding a way to redefine some of these principles. I know there's lots of talk about the principles versus the text, but the intention is the same from the ACT Party. The intention is to erode Māori rights and abilities and decision-making to be able to have a say over our whenua so that it can be used for other purposes. So what's different about this is that there's this huge tranche of attacks towards Māori, and the gravity and the weight of it is so unjust that you're seeing people who wouldn't normally take to the streets come out and say, I don't think I've spoken to a single Māori person in my world that agrees with what the government is doing. Across the board, Māori are united that this government is going too far.
And what takeaways do you hope people will get from Waitangi this year and everything that's going on?
The takeaways for me is I would really invite people in Aotearoa to ask the question, are these the people who can take our country forward? Are these the people who are competent at leading us? Is this who we want to be able to look after our constitutional agreements, our inter-iwi relationships, our vision for what goes forward into the future? I believe they're not. I think that they are causing more harm than anything to all of the careful, considered, thoughtful and difficult work between Māori, Pākehā and Tauiwi to be able to create a country that we can all thrive in. It's been such careful work, and this government is coming through and just destroying all of that very thoughtlessly in the name of power. So the question is that what we want? Is that the leadership that we want and that we deserve? Not just for us, but the people who come after us too.
That was all the questions that I had. Was there anything else that you wanted to add?
Yeah, there's something else that I want to add. So, you know, it's interesting to me because what we're tracking is a trend of right-wing governments with a very hateful and divisive way of being coming forward around the world. This isn't just Aotearoa. And what I think has happened is that this government has taken tips from other right-wing governments and parties and, you know, learnt from each other, and they've thought that they can just replicate the same kind of push, the same hateful division that we're seeing in other parts of the world as well. But what I think they've really underestimated, and it doesn't help that Christopher Luxon hasn't been here in Aotearoa to see it, what they've underestimated is that there's this huge, huge movement and layer of people who believe in te tiriti o Waitangi, who believe in the importance of it, who don't want to go back into the past. We want to move forward. And te ao Māori, te tiriti, is a part of our country and how we move forward. So I think they've actually underestimated where a lot of the public is sitting, certainly where Māori are sitting, and I think it's going to really not work out well for them.
To get another perspective, I spoke to professional teaching fellow at the University of Auckland Law School, Iru Kapakingi, Te Opori Napuhi Waikato Tainui and Te Whanau Aapanui about his impression of what went down and how members of government were received. Here is that interview. You were at Waitangi. Can you tell me about your experience and what your impression was of the commemorations this year?
Yeah, I was there. I was at Waitangi in Waitangi Week as opposed to Waitangi Day, because I was involved in a number of kaupapa leading up to the 6th, and yeah, it was an amazing experience. On the 6th, which is the day that most people attend, it had to be probably the biggest turnout I've ever seen, and I've been going to Waitangi for Waitangi Day since I was little, for the greater part of the last 20 years, and it was amazing just to see the turnout. And I think it was symbolic of the fact that many Māori are coming back, I guess, to the Māori tanga and to the birthplace of our rights as tangata whenua. But in saying that, it wasn't just Māori in attendance. I saw many tangata tiriti, tangata tauriwi, who were there supporting the kaupapa. Yeah, and it was a beautiful day. That was my impression.
Like you said, there were many people there and more than we've seen in modern history taking part in a hīkoi protest to Waitangi grounds. What do you think this mass attendance says to the government about the public's attitudes and perceptions of their policies?
Yeah, I think that it shows opposition but to the stance of the current government against te tiriti and against the principles that have been developed out of treaty jurisprudence over the last few years. But it wasn't opposition in a negative sense. I think it was empowering opposition, and it was a display of the strength and numbers of those who are protectors of te tiriti o Waitangi, and the masses that attended, I think, yeah, signified just the sheer insignificant support and belief in te tiriti as the founding document of Aotearoa. If the government can take anything away from what they experienced, it's that the people, the majority of the people, are in support of te tiriti. And I think given Christopher Luxon's confirmation yesterday that National won't be supporting the Treaty Principles Bill past the first reading was a direct result of what he felt on the day at Waitangi.
For those who might not know, can you explain what the difference is between te tiriti and the Treaty Principles?
Oh, kapoi. So I guess first it's important to distinguish the two documents. So there's the first document, which is the primary document that has mana, and that is te tiriti. It's the document written in te reo Māori that my tūpuna ancestors understood, and the document that was signed by over 500 rangatira, 500 hapū. And te tiriti is a document unto itself. It's not a version of anything. It's its own document, and that's what I refer to as the rangatira document. There's the English draft that only about 30 rangatira signed, and probably none understood properly because te reo Māori was the primary language at the time in the 1800s. And that's what I refer to as the coloniser document. So the te tiriti, the rangatira document, maintained our power and our rangatiratanga in Aotearoa. The coloniser document, the treaty, tries to take that away, but that document, in comparison to te tiriti, does not have mana. Now the treaty principles are kind of their own thing unto themselves. They're an attempt, I guess, by the courts and the Waitangi Tribunal over the last few decades to kind of reconcile the different understandings between these distinct documents in a way that may have a genuine effect in making decisions in court. And they've been referred to in a number of different statutes. The treaty principles are kind of, they can differ depending on who you ask or what forum you're standing in. The Waitangi Tribunal sort of has its own version of principles. The main courts have their own version of the principles. I try not to get into those too much because essentially the principles don't meet the high watermark of te tiriti, of the rangatira document. And you might say that many Māori academics would agree that the treaty principles need to be reassessed. And in fact, the Waitangi Tribunal did say that in its latest Te Paparahi Te Laki report. But the fact of the matter is any reassessment or re-evaluation or rewriting of what those principles look or feel like, the pen must be in the hands of te tangata whenua of te iwi Māori as opposed to thrown into a referendum process, which is really the tyranny of the majority.
What is the legality of ACT's interpretation of the treaty principles and effectively its interpretation of tiriti as well?
Yeah, that's a good question. Even if I stepped away from the treaty context and if you look at just general contract law, right, the Pākehā law states that the meaning of words within a contract are shaped by the intentions of the party and the context within which that contract was written agreed to and then signed. So that's Pākehā law. This is me applying a Pākehā law lens. And even by that standard, what David Seymour is attempting to do through his treaty principles bill is inconsistent with the generally accepted legal method in Pākehā contract law to interpret a contract generally and within the context that it was signed. The treaty principles bill essentially lollypicks certain lines from Te Tiriti and interprets those in complete isolation from the context within Te Tiriti was formed and signed. The other layer of wrongdoing, I guess, is that those David Seymour and his crew who are attempting to interpret Te Tiriti o Waitangi, they wouldn't even know how to say, I need to go to the toilet in Te Reo Māori. But they're trying to interpret a historical document that's written in probably the most native form of Te Reo Māori. And that requires a certain level of expertise, none of whom those people, and none of David Seymour's advisors, I would say, have that expertise. But nor does he. This attempt to completely dilute the meaning and intentions of the Te Tiriti o Waitangi is illegal in a Pākehā sense, and it's also here, it's not right in a tikanga Māori sense as well.
We've seen that National has stated that they will not support the Principles Bill past its first reading, but ACT has asserted that they believe they can get National to change their mind. What do you think might happen in this instance if there is a disagreement between parties in the government?
It could actually go up the coalition arrangement. Whether David Seymour is willing to go that far, I'm not sure. And it's never happened before, right? A coalition government has never broken down to the point where there needs to either be renegotiation or another election, and I don't think any coalition government would want that stain on their reputation, to be the only government to date that is that couldn't hold together a coalition arrangement. But it's possible. Theoretically, it could happen. Practically, I don't think it would happen. But the fact of the matter is whether it's... I'm going to describe Chris Wilkinson's recent statement as a half win. I think it's good that he's clarified now that they're not going to support it past the first reading, the Treaty Principles Bill. But the fact of the matter is the idea has already entered the consciousness of the nation and has already entered the discourse around what Te Tiriti and the relationship that Te Tiriti forms means. And that in itself is a problem, and in many ways the horse has boxed on that. But how do we remedy that? Well, it's essentially about re-educating Aotearoa, citizens of Aotearoa, as to what Te Tiriti means and the relationship that it forms. So even if we don't see a formal legal referendum in the next 3 years, we've already entered into what I call a social referendum, which is really where society are now starting to debate the realities of Te Tiriti. And debate in itself there's nothing wrong with that. Debating matters of opinion is actually natural. But debating matters of fact is dangerous, and that's the territory that we're in at the moment, and I'm still very cautious of the misinformation that's going to manipulate the thinking of many of the citizens of Aotearoa, Pākehā and Māori included. And so it's my role as an educator to rebalance that and to correct that.
The government has been accused of degrading the concept of tino rangatiratanga. Can you tell our listeners who might not be aware what this concept is?
Tino rangatiratanga, to me, is a description, or it's a word that aligns with the idea of sovereignty and being the sovereign of your society, your people, having absolute political power and control over laws, resource. That is what tino rangatiratanga encapsulates.
Why is tino rangatiratanga beneficial for everyone in Aotearoa, not just Māori?
Well, tino rangatiratanga was the condition by which Pākehā could make their home here, right? So that's the condition by which Pākehā were allowed to come into this country and continue to benefit from Aotearoa as their home. So asking whether it benefits everyone is kind of besides the point. But in saying that, what is good for Māori is good for Aotearoa, and the Māori philosophy of mana and power is starkly different to that of Pākehā, the Pākehā perception of power and definition of power, because Māori are a collective society, right? So the philosophy of Māori well-being is based on collective well-being, and there are obligations of manaakitanga and aroha that pervade the regulation of Māori society, especially towards manuhiri. So if we think about it in that respect, tiriti, and to use the words of Rauri Waititi, a tiriti-centric Aotearoa is how Māori treat Pākehā ona marae, right? We provide care, we provide safety, and we provide a space where Pākehā feel welcome, right? So the cost of Māori power is not Pākehā power. That was never how Māori society operated. But I think Pākehā, there are a number of Pākehā who fear that if there is a rebalancing of power where Māori have political say and decision-making power, that will come at a cost to their own well-being, which is not true. Te Tiriti is a document of truth and is a document of power. The truth in Te Tiriti is that Mai Tupuna never ceded sovereignty to the British Crown. Our Tupuna declared, Mai Tupuna declared their sovereignty in 1835 through Hauka Putanga, and Te Tiriti did nothing to take that away. All it did was provide a space for Pākehā to live here and to be regulated and controlled in a way that kept everyone tight or safe in Aotearoa. And that truth has been radicalised. The truth that Mai Tupuna never ceded sovereignty has been radicalised, and that puts my people in a very dangerous position. But I will keep saying it until everyone believes it and everyone knows it to be true, that we never ceded sovereignty.
That was Action Station Director Cassie Hartendorp, Ngāti Raukawa, and Professional Teaching Fellow at the University of Auckland Law School, Iru Kapakingi, giving their reflections on Waitangi.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.